Hey, everybody, this is a preview of today's members episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button, and become a member today.
Merkel Media.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long, bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave, and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. But the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand, and he's running really fast, and spears Dan holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blowed his head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg. And I look over and there are two small gray entities pulling at me. And they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reached my hand into this bush, and I touch air. Couldn't breathe, and I couldn't move, because I know I'm seeing a monster.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to The Confessionals Podcast. I'm your host, Tony Merkel. Thanks for being here. If you have a crazy, wild experience you want to share with me on the show, go ahead and shoot me an email. My email address is contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. That's contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. Or go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the contact section, and you can reach me that way as well. Either way works for me. Just get a hold of me. Merk Merch is the name, and that's where you can get your swag on today. Go ahead and check out merkmerch.com for all your Merkel Media apparel needs. We got something really cool and exciting coming to that store very soon, but right now you can get a discount. There are some select items on the store that you can get a discount on, and members, you get access to a discount code available in the members app. Go ahead and get that discount code, and that is store-wide. You can get a discount on everything in the store per item. So go ahead and check it out, merkmerch.com. Also, check out merkelfilms.com for your on-demand streaming needs. We're working on some deals, friends, and you're going to have some new things to stream soon on merkelfilms.com. Go ahead and check it out today. Now, today we have Shannon coming on the show, and Shannon was on episode 671, The Moon-Eyed People. Her and her husband, Michael, were on the show. Fantastic conversation I had with them, and she comes back on today because since we have talked, she has engaged in some serious supernatural spiritual warfare, and she comes today to tell all about it. Let's get to Shannon right now. All right, today we got Shannon on the show. Shannon, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me again.
Yes, absolutely. Last time I had you, your husband was with you. I was getting introduced to you guys as a family unit, and it was a great conversation. It was episode 671, The Moon-Eyed People. If I remember correctly, you guys are in North Georgia?
Yep,
North Georgia. Yeah, that's what I thought. And so I remember him telling me that story about his friends and going out into the woods and coming across these little people and all this stuff. Yeah. And I think I've referenced that conversation, maybe not so much on the show, but I know in person, because I'll get people asking, like, you know, what, do you know anything about the little people? I'm like, yeah, actually, I got a wild story that sticks out in my head all the time about it. and it's just such a wild story where, you know, he's walking with his friends looking specifically for these things, not really believing that they're going to see anything. Yeah. If I remember correctly, they were drinking or something like that too.
Yeah,
and so like, smoking. Yeah. And so like, it was just like, whatever, dudes just going out in the woods being dudes, and come over like a hill or something and see what he sees. And the number 25 sticks out in my head. Is that like how he describes it? Like it was like 25 of them or something like that? It was a lot, right?
I don't remember. Yeah, maybe have no idea. I guess so. Okay. It was many. It was like a full circle of them.
Yeah, it was like they were doing a ritual or something, right?
Yep. They're all standing in a circle with like a big tree, like a grandfather type tree, you know?
And he had a friend that said that he's seen him before. He was guiding them, right? Yeah, yep. That's wild stuff. Yep. That's wild stuff. But yeah, anyways, that was episode 671, The Moon-Eyed People. And you were on there as well, because I think we started with your husband. He told that story. And then we talked about your kind of life story.
Yep.
And I'd like for you to kind of maybe revisit that a little bit here, just to kind of refresh people on, you know, who you are and stuff. Like, some of the listeners might be like, oh yeah, I remember that episode, but I don't remember exactly what they covered.
Yeah.
You don't need to go into great, you know, depth or anything, but since the last time you were on the show, there's been other things that have happened, and progresses have been made in their areas. And so information has been gained. So before we get into that though, I'd like to kind of remind the audience who you are.
So I came out of witchcraft. I was not raised especially Christian. Like, I went to a Presbyterian church a couple of times, and, you know, as one does, I got into witchcraft and Satanism and, the occult and New Age. And I tried everything, basically seeking the truth. And, the Lord saved me and pulled me out of it. I had like a few paranormal experiences along the way. And then, yeah, so God saved me out of it. And it was literally like I was coming out of being brainwashed. I was a hardcore, leftist, liberal, feminist. I had been in a lesbian relationship for like 7 years, and before I met the man who would be my husband. And, you know, I was addicted to drugs, and I was living out of my car, and like I was living on the fringes of society. And like, when I say I did everything and tried everything, like, I really mean it. And, God reached out and like touched me, and the scales fell away, and I saw him. And well, not, I didn't like behold his like true form, but he revealed himself. And, I realized that he was real. I still didn't want Christianity to be the answer, because I hated Christians with a very deep passion. And so I tried Judaism, and I started to teach myself Hebrew, and I started to read the Hebrew Bible. And in the Hebrew Bible, Jesus is mentioned many times. There's like several prophecies. Psalms and Isaiah specifically are what stand out the most to me. And I was like, this is weird. This sounds a lot like Jesus, but he's not real. Because I was taught that there was no proof of Jesus existing. There's no proof, like faith is something that's blind, and there's no way to prove any of it. And it was very easy to go and search for secular scholars who agreed that Jesus was a historical person that walked the earth. And for me, that was like earth shattering. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, if this is the truth, then I have to accept it. And then that was my logical conversion. And then I had to fall on my knees and repent and lay it all down before the Lord. And he forgave me and changed me. And the person that I am now, like even just looking at photos, it's very clear to tell that I was very demonized and a very lost person before. And then after the cross, like the life changes, and the fruit is a testimony in and of itself. So,
yeah, I can actually attest to what you just said, because I was just on your the Confessional social media network page. I was just on your personal page. You're very active on our social media network. You post a lot, which is very highly encouraged, because, you know, I run my own social media app these days.
It's good. The community is great.
That's the thing that I was hoping to create. Like, the idea of doing an app that as a podcaster is one thing, but I was like, can we create a social media? Can we create a whole community that it's not like, oh, here's a group on a podcast app you can talk to people on, but an actual, like, the entire app is a community where we house the extra content there. But it's, I feel like what I want is for the extra content to be secondary to people wanting just be part of the community and the app and post things and thoughts there. Because like literally it's a place where, I mean, I don't deal with this because the whole world knows who I am, but I know back in the day I felt like, I don't want to post that because my friends might think I'm weird.
Yeah.
And so like, this is an app that's totally different, but anyways, on the app, see, I had the ADHD, that you posted a picture about a month ago of you before and now.
Yeah.
Completely different.
That's like, my mugshot. I was arrested.
That's right. It said it. Where were you arrested? Or don't you want to say what you were arrested for? Mugging grandmothers?
It was a DWI. I fell asleep at a red light and I woke up to flashing lights. And that was a big wake up call.
At least you're at a red light when you fell asleep, right?
Yes. Or- yeah. Yeah. It wasn't too bad. Like I wasn't like driving erratically and crashing. Yeah. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning and I was trying to get home and I fell asleep at the red light. So that's fun. But it was like one of the darkest days of my life. And but God is using it. So,
I mean, for sure. And just by looking at the picture, you can see the mugshot. It's like a dark, oppressive nature about you, which, you know, obviously with doing the things you were doing, you were like literally oppressed by demonic forces 24/7. I mean,
I would say I was possessed or demonized, you know.
You said it, not me.
Severely demonized.
I could personally, from the person who hadn't gone through it, I can confidently say that what you told me, you were dealing with at least oppression.
Yeah.
But to see the comparison between the two images, I mean, your kids are in the other picture and you're just, it's bright and happy and love and joy. It's pretty wild to see. I thought it was, when I was scrolling through your feed this morning, I was like, man, that's wild. So, you go through those things and you ultimately find your way to being what you always hated, a Christian.
Yeah.
And you know, coming out of witchcraft and things like that, you have an understanding of the supernatural aspects of our existence. I mean, people who maybe are more atheistic and they don't mess with the darker side, they don't have a hold on how supernatural our existence is because they don't even believe that the supernatural is real. You coming into Christianity came from the very opposite perspective. So when it comes to the next chapters of your life and that you're going to be sharing with us, I'm assuming it wasn't that hard to make certain connections as it would have been for other people, like the idea of getting into deliverance ministry and things like that. I mean, or maybe so it was, I don't know.
It took a couple of years, okay?
Did it?
It took a few years. Like by the time, when I did the interview with you last, I had no idea really what deliverance was. Like I understood like Catholic exorcisms, but I sort of went from one extreme to the other where like the church that we joined, was a Baptist church. Like when we did that interview, I was going to a Baptist church and like, gotcha. I have like a better understanding of like multidimensional existence and like vibrations and energies and things like that more than like just a standard Christian or somebody coming out of atheism. Mm-hmm. But like I thought that once I became a Christian, like all of the demon stuff, like it just, that door shut and it was all over. And I did not understand that. No, like when you have some, when you invite something into yourself like that, it's not going to leave until somebody tells it to leave. Mm. Like you're covered by the blood of Jesus. And when you die, you're going to heaven, but like you, still have a spirit living inside of you. Many spirits in my case. So I tried self-deliverance. I was successful in delivering myself of a couple of things, but I ultimately needed somebody else to lay their hands on me and command them out.
Yeah.
And, but self-deliverance, like you are a representative of Jesus, even to yourself. So you do still have authority even over the spirits inside of yourself, but like there's no self-deliverance in the Bible, but that doesn't mean that it's not real. But I wasn't able to be fully free and walk in complete freedom until somebody else did it for me. So I would like to share about like my journey.
Please.
To from being a Baptist to now I do deliverance on people. And It has been a wild year since the last interview. And I think it's wonderful that you guys are going to do it together. Like, that is so cool. You have to like set aside your pride, which pride in and of itself can be, or often is, a spirit. So, all right. So after the interview that we did, so I had just given birth to my daughter, my third child, and, my, pastor found out, my old pastor, we're at a different church now. My old pastor, knew about my testimony, and he randomly sent me this girl to try and help. And, I reached out to her and she rejected me, but I'm very stubborn. So she had surgery or something like a couple weeks later. So after she basically ghosted me and didn't want my help, I went to her house and brought her soup that I had made and bread. And I was like, I'm going to pray over this house right now. So I prayed over her house without asking. And like, I rebuked whatever spirits, like not having any idea what I was doing. And her husband comes out and I give him the food and I'm leaving. And when I get in my van, I like suddenly hear this ringing and I was like, oh, that's weird. And then I thought like something paranormal is going to happen tonight. I can just feel it. So I get home and that night, sure enough, my oldest son, he was 5 at the time. He like started screaming for me and I come running out and he's like, something clapped right in front of my face like that. And, so I rebuked it and then we didn't have any more issues until, fast forward, my husband. So I'm going to put a pin in that story about with the girl, the demonized girl with my son hearing that spirit. At that same time, my husband gets me this book. Okay. And he's so excited about this book. And it was a leather bound, hand bound a book on symbols. And it had, a big pentagram on it and a bunch of other symbols. And when I saw this gift, I knew that I should not accept it, but I didn't want to hurt his feelings. So I took the book in. And
why did he get it for you?
Why?
Yeah.
So I guess because I had given birth, I don't know. He wanted it. I have no idea. It was just a present. So I had like just given birth. It was like the week of the confessionals interview. He gave me this book.
It was from your husband. So like you guys know, like being, you know, in church and stuff, what was it about the book that he thought would be a good gift for you? If it's just because like the interest, like interest in the symbols and understanding
right.
them.
Right.
Gotcha. So it wasn't like he was like,
understand that, since with my testimony and my history, that this could possibly be a foothold. We had no concept of spiritual warfare, not really, other than when you see a spirit or you feel a spirit, you just rebuke it in the name of Jesus and that should be enough.
Yeah.
Come to find out that is not enough sometimes.
Right.
Like sometimes, like in what I've experienced, sometimes rebuking something in the name of Jesus is like throwing sand into a hurricane where it's like, nothing happens. Like Jesus is still there with you, but like the root of the issue is not being solved. It's like you're trying to heal like a bandaid on it, or like put a bandaid on a broken arm. You know. So anyway, so he got me this book, okay, and I took it in and I put it on my dresser, and our dresser, like we always pray every night and right in front of our dresser, right? So immediately we start becoming tormented. Everybody starts having nightmares. Myself, my husband, my children start having nightmares. My children start seeing monsters in the dark. My 2-year-old would see the happy monster from the playroom. And I would rebuke it and he would say, it worked, it's gone. But then like a few minutes later, it would be back again. So, and then I started having sleep paralysis attacks all of the time. I started vaping again, which God had healed me of smoking. And so I started vaping again. And like we were not going to church because I had just given birth and we weren't praying. I was not in the word. Like I fell away hard. And, it was Just a living nightmare. Okay. So I would have these dreams.
This was a preview of today's member episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button, and become a member today.